Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard you say that?" And Jesus answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides to the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." And Jesus said, "Are you also still not understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." So Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. I guess there was more to this passage. That was a lot. I'll keep reading. All right. After Jesus had left that place, he passed along the Sea of Galilee, and he went up the mountain where he sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing him the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them, so that the crowd was amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Well, that definitely ends us on a more positive note. Maybe we need that to kind of bring it all to conclusion. One of those other sayings that comes to mind is, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Yeah? Kind of along those same lines. So if we look at this passage, one, I want to firmly ground us in the purpose and writing of the Gospel of Matthew. So Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, but it is actually not the first gospel that would have been written. But in the decision of which books to contain in the Christian canon, there was a lot of discernment about what order to have those books in the Christian canon. And the Gospel of Matthew is specifically positioned as the first book to serve as a bridge between the Old Testament, the writings of the Israelites, to those first believers of Christ. So a lot of the language is written from this very specific purpose of speaking directly to the Jewish people. So in this hearing, when we think about this, what goes, not what we put into our bodies is what defiles us, but rather what comes out of our bodies is what defiles us. And unclean hands. There was a lot of grumbling from the religious authorities that said, why are your disciples picking weed on the Sabbath? Why are they not washing their hands before they eat? Why are they eating in the presence of what we would classify as sinners or outcasts? Because that would make you also unclean. And Jesus is countering this to say, it's not what you put into your mouth, the physical things, but what comes out of your heart that is really, truly indicative of the defilement with which you speak, your uncleanliness as regards to that. And then we hear fornication, false witness. Those are all echoes of the Ten Commandments. How do we treat one another and how do we listen and obey the one true God? And we hear this, that Jesus is challenging in those very words in a very circumvented way the misinterpretation of the law of God, which seems to have forgotten the fact that God is a God of love and a God of grace. So we hold this, right, in tension because Jesus is both simultaneously calling out the religious authorities and reinterpreting and reimagining the parameters with which the faithful of God were living. Now, Jesus is traveling a lot. Last week, we knew that he was across the sea. I mean, I don't even want to know what Jesus' Fitbit would look like and how many steps he was logging on a daily basis, right? But we know that he was doing a lot of traveling, and the crowds were becoming aware of who Jesus was and what Jesus was capable of, and they were craving to hear words of hope from Jesus. They also had heard the stories of miraculous healing and feeding large crowds that obviously demonstrated the power of who God is and who Jesus is as the Son of God. And so he's walking, and I can imagine that there would have been a lot of people who just wanted to get close to Jesus, right? Because the crowds would have been so big that you may not have been able to weave your way through. And so you're going to use every tool you have available to you to maybe get some attention. And this Canaanite woman is calling out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a demon. Now, what's important is there are two pieces, two aspects. Actually, there are three that we need to take into consideration. One is she is a woman. In a patriarchal society, she would have been a lower class citizen in light of the religious and powers and principalities. Two, not only was she a woman, but she was a Canaanite woman. And there was a lot of animosity about the intermixing of individuals. It's kind of along the same lines as the Samaritans, right? That the Samaritans were outside of the realm of acceptable people to associate with. And then three, she would call out and move through this crowd because of what was going on with her daughter. Now, her daughter was possessed by what? A demon. And in that religious culture, if she was possessed by a demon, was she clean or unclean? Unclean. And by association, that if this mother was tending to her daughter, she herself would also be considered what? Unclean. So by my accounts, she's got three strikes against her. She's a woman, she's a Canaanite, and she's unclean because her daughter is suffering with a demon. And she has the nerve, the audacity to come yelling towards Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus. And Jesus keeps walking. Now, I don't know about you, but to think that Jesus would ignore when I called out to him doesn't sit really well with me. Is that, would y'all, like, it's giving me goosebumps just thinking about it. That here, if I was calling out to Jesus for help and Jesus would not respond to me, like, I am, like, having a visceral body reaction to this. And I imagine she probably did too, but she probably had to overcome a lot of anxiety to even call out to Jesus in that space, knowing who she was and what her circumstances were. And yet she did it. And not only did she do it, but she was persistent in calling out to Jesus. And the disciples, got to be real honest with you, they were really uncomfortable. Psh, Jesus, send her away. Tell her to go away. She keeps calling out at us. It's really beginning to get under our skin and making us really uncomfortable because we're going to have to do something. And she falls down and she kneels and touches Jesus. And Jesus says, again, some harsh words that I find really hard to believe would come out of our Savior's mouth. I'm only here to save the lost of Israel. Which again, if we put this into context in the Gospel of Matthew, makes sense, but doesn't always make us feel good. And she said, I totally understand that. And there's still something there for me that even I can receive grace from the crumbs that the dogs would eat. She was associating herself with that low position she already knew she had, and that there was something compelling about who Jesus was to know and trust that there was healing to be found. And Jesus says, as you wish. You are a woman of great faith. Your daughter has been healed. And then he continues to go on. And others bring their maimed and their lame and their blind, and they have this miraculous healing. But when I was reading this passage in preparation for this Sunday, I realized that the woman never actually asked Jesus to heal her daughter. Did you hear that? She identifies her daughter as suffering with the demon, but she doesn't actually ask Jesus to heal her. And yet Jesus does. Which leads me to believe that Jesus understood better than anybody who this woman was. Understood beyond a shadow of a doubt what her needs were in that moment. Understood what she overcame to immerse herself in this huge crowd, knowing her place and her persistence in saying, yes, Lord, even I can benefit from what you have to offer. And it is her faith that Jesus acknowledges and then gives her more than what she asked for, the healing of her precious daughter. This isn't the first time that we hear about Jesus saying their faith has led to their healing. There is something about this connection between someone else's faith and someone else's healing. It doesn't necessarily mean there's this direct conduit, that it may be a piece, a fragment, a small morsel, a crumb of somebody else's faith that leads to healing for someone else. The power of God and the healing grace of Jesus is so great that it even only takes just a small part to do something miraculous. Just a little bit can have such a profound impact. So that little bit of crumb that we hold on to will never go away. Have any of y'all studied science? I'm looking at you, Russell. Half-life of things. Like, you will never get to zero. Does that make sense? I mean, you'll get to infinity, like, you know, however many, you know, powers of whatever. But if you take something and divide it, and then divide it again, you're not ever going to get to nothing. There will always be something there. And it is that something that is there that we cling to, that we hold on to, that we nurture, to continue to grow, and then we share. Because who knows how your faith may lead to someone else, to their healing, to having their needs met because of this profound faith and trust in who God is. And our lives should model that. Which means that let our hearts speak truth. Let our hearts and words speak grace. Let our hearts and words and actions speak of a love that is so profound that even just a little bit changes us forever. Thanks be to God for a love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.